We'll tune into the February 20th, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rain Report, available as a weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. Many of us were introduced to the mysterious world of radio propagation by building a crystal radio set when we were young. Crystal radios have come a long way since then. In fact, former Cantronics designer Phil Anderson, W0XI, now markets crystal radios only dreamed of 40 years ago. Phil talked about his crystal radios and the role they can play in hands-on teaching during the QRP forum at the 2008 Dayton Hamvention.
How many have built a crystal set in their lifetime? 50%, that's pretty good. What do you think the percentage is today of kids that have built one? You think it's over 10%? It's not. But it is growing. We hear from science teachers all the time. We even hear from those producing introductory tech courses at some of the universities to introduce folks, kids that come in today that want to be a mechanical engineer or an electrical engineer, have had zero hands-on experience. Now, their math skills might be okay, but they don't have a clue. They don't know what a soldering iron is. They don't know what a pair of cutters are. They don't know the difference between the numbers of wire sizes. Of course, if you ask them, is number 8 bigger or smaller than number 26? Oh, well, you know what their answer is, but it's backwards, right? Number 26 is a common wire for winding coils for radio. Number 8 is stuff electricians deal with. So this is part of the educational process. One of the things that is an illusion, if a ham has a 1x2 call, that means they've either been around a long time or they know a politician. I actually got mine in 1953. Believe it or not, the crystal set is really a great teacher. I applaud the previous speaker. I think high-end radios are great. I think the fact that you can buy it in a kit is fantastic. If you leave your AGC on all the time, you miss enjoying the ionosphere going up and down every night and sometimes every minute. There's a basic crystal set. You clip a wire from an antenna somewhere on that coil, and you match the antenna by clipping it somewhere along the coil. Then you have the coil with a bunch of windings, and then the second clip on the right goes down to a diode, which is a detector for the crystal set. And then that diode will hook usually to a resistor and a capacitor, to a pair of headphones, or to a little earpiece. Now, if you build that and you experiment it with a little bit, and you listen at night a little bit, even on the AM band, we do have ionospheric effects at night versus the daytime. You begin to get a feel for propagation, and you can hear the differences in daytime and nighttime propagation. Second thing, in working with the crystal set, if you attach the antenna and move it up and down the coil, you'll notice that the performance is different at different places on the coil. For once, if you move the antenna tap along the coil, you'll notice that it tunes to different stations. Well, what's that about? Well, over time, you figure out what's happening there. And then if you move the tap on the earphone side or the earpiece side, you notice that the volume will go up or down. So you begin to learn these concepts of matching and how the antenna interacts with the radio, also about the level of listening and the human ear. By the way, the human ear, everybody in here, assuming you're still hearing reasonably well, the gain in your brain, your ear, and your head, the gain from the input signal level to what you hear is larger than the gain in any transceiver built. Your ear is extremely sensitive. It's down at 0.0002 dynes per square centimeter. Convert that to watts, it's down in the nano watts. The ear is very extremely sensitive. The crystal set on the right-hand side here, it teaches you about the sensitivity of the human ear. You'll learn about that listening. You'll learn about building a kit. You'll learn about winding coils and about how coils are defined and what their parameters are, like inductance. You use capacitance, you learn that an antenna has resistance and capacitance, or inductance, or both, depending on its length. It works if you have a reasonably strong station within a reasonable range of your home during the day. At night, you'll pick up some of the 50 kilowatt clear channel stations that are still left in the country, maybe as far as away as half of the continent. Another basic crystal set is to build one on a note box. Anybody ever build a note box set? That's most popular with kids. If they have patience to get the coil completely wound, that's the big challenge. Our second most popular set is called the Little Wonder. There really was an original crystal set back in the 20s called the Little Wonder that came in a little book. in the coil. So we thought it was a nice name to usurp. It tunes the coil. Instead of moving the tap up and down the coil, it uses that little compression cap that's in the middle. This allows you to tune the station. You say, where's the coil? The coil is actually one of those little tiny molded, looks like a resistor. They're actually little molded inductors. Now, the Q isn't real great on those, meaning that the station doesn't tune real sharply. But it does a decent enough job, and kids can get it together pretty quick. Scouts can get it together. And some grown-ups even find it a challenge on occasion. The one in the upper right-hand corner, we did the unforgivable thing for a crystal set that's not supposed to have any power. We put a battery in the set, and the capacitors are tuned by a Variac. It's a variable voltage control capacitor and an amplifier for an earpiece. We made a set recently that's kind of fun. By the way, there is a group on the web. You can find it. Just look in Google and type in the term Rap and Tap, R-A-P-N-T-A-P, and you'll find a chat group that's on the web. Part of the fun is trying to optimize the coils to get as high a Q as possible so you can get as narrow a selectivity as possible to be able to tune the separate 10 kilohertz stations across the AM band. This is not an optimum set, but it's one that shows you what you can do. In the upper right-hand corner is a 4.2-inch diameter piece of sewer pipe, about 20 cents worth of PVC. Wound on it is a close-wound number 18 wire with 16 strands inside. The idea is to get the wire bigger to lower the skin loss in the coil. Then that's mounted on some nylon bolts into the base, and then the layout of the set is shown in the lower left here. Down there you can see the a tuning capacitor for the antenna tuner, tuning capacitor for the main coil, and then the dotted lines are simply the wires to attach. It comes all pre-punched and ready to assemble. You can build the set in about 45 minutes. You do that before supper, and then you wait till about 9 o'clock at night and go down and tune in WGN out of Chicago from Kansas City. And that's fun. And the first time you do that, it's really fun. Now, there's a picture of the front panel up in the front. It's real simple. You cut the panel out that's in the back of the manual. Cut out the holes with an X-Acto blade, use some glue and glue it onto the front panel board, and then add your components and build the kit at the bottom, then start listening.
Phil Anderson, W0XI, former Cantronics designer and now marketer of high-tech crystal radios. You can read more about the Crystal Set Society he helped launch back in 1991 at www.midnightscience.com. That's midnightscience.com. Phil's email address and a link to the Crystal Set Society will be found on the Rain Archive page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2009 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.